Welcome to the WWE Podcast. I've got Ashley Mann with me tonight to talk about all things Money in the Bank. We cover a little bit about SmackDown and her reaction to the first event of WWE with live fans. We discuss the possibility of huge returns at Money in the Bank and the Monday Night Raw and SmackDown thereafter. So you're not going to want to miss this one, guys. It's a blast. As always, Ashley Mann back on the show. Let's get everything started right now.
Welcome to the WWE Podcast, your number one source for the latest in WWE news and straightforward analysis.
Are you ready to get this thing going?
Give me a hell yeah! I said give me a hell yeah!
Then let's get this show started right now.
Hey everybody, and welcome to the Money in the Bank preview and prediction show. Man, oh man, is it great to have crowd back, isn't it? It's just, it's night and day. It's the soul of wrestling back in full effect. And from here on out, barring anything other, any other crazy things happening in the world, we have live crowds on a consistent basis. And I think you are as excited as I am for that. And of course, the performers and everybody involved in the entire wrestling industry, I would assume, is as excited as we are. And before we get started, I want to give a shout out to a patron who has recently jumped up in their tier on Patreon, and Jeremy Schrader, who has jumped up into the next tier, into the Raw level tier. And with that, you get to be on the show with me, co-hosting a show. So we will be in touch. And if you want to join Jeremy and come on the show as a co-host, or just get a shout out and talk about another topic, you can do that at patreon.com/WWE podcast. You also get the Wrestling Nostalgia show that's exclusive to patrons. So that is another one of the benefits there. And check it out. You get access to a Discord server where we chat during pay-per-views live as a team, a little VIP area. And I'll be doing that this Sunday, tomorrow night, with the Money in the Bank pay-per-view on the Discord server there. So definitely check us out if you're interested, and also on Apple Podcasts, because we have a little subscribe button there that you can get an ad-free experience by just clicking one button. So head on over there if you're on an iOS device. So guys, Ashley Mann is back with me tonight. And what is tradition here on the show, whether it's sometimes by the wrestling gods or sometimes by my own accord, bringing her on a preview and prediction show. And so it's great to have her back. You know, we are as big of fans of her as you guys are. And so we're going to stop all this chit chat, and we're going to get right to it right now with Ashley Mann joining me, talking about Money in the Bank. And tomorrow night, I'll be doing a review show for Money in the Bank following the pay-per-view. So stay tuned for that. But guys, here it comes. As always, I'll talk to you next time. All right, guys, welcome to the official Money in the Bank preview and prediction. And I have Ashley with me, and this is by design. This is not the wrestling gods. I am just doing this on my own because I feel like it was the right thing to do. And I have Ashley back with us to talk about Money in the Bank, and we'll get into all the matches. We'll get into all of the possibilities, the what ifs, the big returns that we're all thinking about. But first, Ashley, welcome to the show. And what did you think of the first live crowd back last night on SmackDown?
Yes, sir. Thank you so much for having me, Matt. And I appreciate you taking the reins on this one and just taking over for the Wrestling Gods this time and just selecting me for the preview show. I appreciate it. It's always a blast. But man, that show last night, the first thing that stuck out to me was obviously Vince. the reception he got, and I thought about it because I thought about what I would do if I was there, because we all, you know, say what we want to say about Vince, creative, our opinions and all that. I think I would be a hypocrite, Matt, and I think I would be one of those people singing his entrance, because I remember when I was at a show in Detroit, he came out and I sang right along, and then right after it happened, I was like, man, for lack of better words, I was like, yep, they got me. But just to see him start off the show, and just as simple as it was, it was a good feeling, and just seeing the reaction and the new stage and everything, it was just like it kind of had like a pay-per-view feel. And maybe it's just because like it was just so jarring for me just seeing WWE besides WrestleMania, of course, finally in front of the fans again. But it was just like a breath of fresh air, obviously, and it's just so needed and just so exciting, and just I'm just happy it's back. I'm happy it's back, and it just makes you excited for wrestling again. It kind of just like, it kind of feels like a new season. I'm surprised they didn't tag it this way, but yeah, I of course I'm so here for it. But surprisingly, I did see a few people say that they missed the Thunderdome, so I don't know what's going on with that. But I expect you are on my side with this one. To start off with the fans, you are in favor of the fans being back.
I want to meet these people. I want to talk to these people that have some kind of affection for the Thunderdome. I really do. I don't believe that there's no way, if you're a wrestling fan, that you actually prefer the Thunderdome over live breathing human beings. Considering that pro wrestling, more than any sport, MLB, NFL, NHL, soccer, I don't care what you watch, pro wrestling relies on the fan reaction more than any other sport, because not only is it better just for the show and the optics, but also it drives storylines. It drives where the company goes. In other sports, that is irrelevant. You just cheer for your team and you hope they win. Where in pro wrestling, it actually drives the content you're going to watch. So I don't know who these people are. Like, whoever's out there that prefers the Thunderdome, like, I want to talk to you.
Yeah, I'll have to go back and see if I can find them in screenshot and send them to you. Just so you can see their side of view. It's just, I was just blown away. But hey, to each their own, you know. But yeah. Me personally, I love the fans, and I will vote for fans all day, every day. But yeah, and between that and then just the reception for Edge, oh my gosh. Oh. You would have thought he just now returned. You know, in the whole year, past year, and some change didn't happen. That was just, gave you goosebumps again. Like, it's just, and seeing how happy he was, it was just, man, it was just a feel-good night. And I think that's something that WWE desperately needs at this point. Oh, and it's just going to keep going, and that's what's exciting about it, you know?
And you know what? The novelty of this will eventually wear off, where they go through the cities and everyone's like, okay, we got WWE back. You know, I can't wait till they come to my city, and they'll have that energy. But eventually it'll get kind of back to the status quo, and whether we like to admit it or not, we'll all eventually just kind of take crowds for granted again. It's going to happen. We're human beings, and the energy won't be as high as it is now. Eventually it will kind of plateau, and that's expected. So we should enjoy the next probably year or so, when they kind of tour their cities and go throughout the United States and they hit all their regulars, and the crowds are going to be more excited than normal, but that will plateau, and that's fine. But for the time being, it is you talk about a breath of fresh air. You talk about the soul of wrestling coming back, and you could hear it in the announcer's voice. You could hear it in the promos and the wrestlers coming out, and like, everything was just so electrified last night, and it felt like a pay-per-view. It was just an embrace of both parties. Like, thank God this damn thing's over. Well, over to the extent that you can have crowds anyway. Right. And so just awesome. And I got to ask, and I asked Michael Ritter last night, I did a post-review show with him. Do you think that it was coincidence that Roman Reigns didn't say a word on the show when he was saying, you know, he was cutting many promos throughout, like, many segments through SmackDown for several months. I mean, and all of a sudden they just stop. And do you think that it's coincidence? Do you think that the fact that they didn't let him speak is, like I said, just coincidence, and it was just part of the creative that night? Or do you think it was by design, and maybe they're a little concerned that Roman Reigns is not at that place yet where his heel character can handle, or Roman Reigns can handle, managing his heel character in front of 14,000-15,000 ravenous fans? I mean, I don't know. I mean, what do you think that was about? Coincidence or not?
No, I don't think it was coincidence at all. I think it was actually by design. I think they're smart with it. If I had to make an assumption, my assumption would be that they wanted to feel it out. There was a reason he was the first one coming out there, you know, being the champion, of course. But Roman Reigns, you know, that was kind of ballsy in a way to have Roman come out there and kind of kick things off, because we got a taste of it at WrestleMania. But again, we don't know, like, your average, like, Texas crowd, like, what they're really going to do and how they're going to react. So I don't think if you had Roman coming out to necessarily do a 5, 10, 15 minute promo segment to start off the show, that would have been good, because you kind of want to get a feel for the crowd and get like a temperature for the room and see exactly where he's at and see if they are responding to him negatively as a heel, which is obviously what they are intending, or if we're just so in love with Roman because of what he's been doing that we're cheering for him now, which is, of course, ironic. So I think it was by design. I think they kind of wanted to see where Roman was at with the crowd. And, of course, that was just one one section of the crowd, but I think it was a good parameter and a good starting point at least. So I think it was by design.
And you know, the more I think about it, like you just said, it was ballsy for WWE to do that. But if you're going to truly feel out what the fans think about Roman Reigns and not just look at social media, which can be a little bit skewed, as we all know, there's no better time than after 18 months of not having fans to go to a crowd to have him first out for the show outside of Vince McMahon and see what the crowd really feels. Because if they were going to cheer for him, there's no better setup you could have than him in front of a crowd that has not seen wrestling in 18 months, doing an awesome job as a heel, and he's the first one out with all that anticipation. If there was a situation you could create for him to try to get cheered, that was it. And yeah, I heard some scattering of cheers, but it was mostly boos. It was the exact reaction that I was hoping for and that I'm sure WWE was hoping for. So like you said, it was probably a little bit of an experiment to see how the fans reacted in the most extreme scenario you could create to get him cheered. So I think that's awesome that he did get booed.
Me too. Again, I was, like I said before, with WrestleMania, I was kind of not concerned, but just maybe, I guess maybe concerned in a way, just that people are going to do what they want and try to be the stars of the show, just with WWE, and, you know, with certain WWE fans, like, you know, like your WrestleMania crowd, and what did they call them, the crazy, or what was that? What was the phrasing they used?
Bizarro world.
The bizarro world, yeah. Fans. Yeah.
Or the non-traditional.
Exactly. Yeah, those words. Yeah. Sometimes they like to go like their own route, so that's what I was kind of curious to see. But I'm here for it, and I love that Roman didn't cave. He didn't smile. He didn't like show any sense of glee or enjoyment that the fans were back. He was his same old, like, monotone, just stealth face self. He did exactly the same thing that he's been doing for the past year now, almost. So I loved everything about it.
Yeah, this was as good of a scenario as you can create, and Edge got a monster pop. I was talking with some of our patrons at patreon.com during the show, and I was saying how I got goosebumps. It felt like I kind of felt like Edge's return at the Royal Rumble in 2020. It had me almost to that level. I was like, wow, that was awesome for Edge, and it was a hell of a moment. And I thought the overall show was great. Now, one other thing I'll ask about this show, and we'll get to the Money in the Bank pay-per-view. Were you disappointed? Were you shocked? Were you any other emotion about the lack of big returns? And yes, Finn Balor did, quote, return, but he's been with WWE, just took a detour to NXT for a couple of years and now has circled back. But outside of Finn Balor, or you can talk about him, but were you shocked? Were you disappointed? How did you feel about the lack of a John Cena or Sasha Banks or somebody like that?
No, I personally wasn't really expecting any returns here tonight, or if there was kind of something in the same respect as like a Finn Balor. I wasn't necessarily expecting him per se, but I was surprised nonetheless to see him, and I'm happy he's back, and I think SmackDown was the perfect fit for him. And I'm just excited to see that the rejuvenation in his character, and I hope that they take him a little bit more seriously this time on the main roster or on SmackDown at least. So I was totally fine with the Finn Balor return, and I agree with them. Like, I don't think you wanted to blow everything on the first show, even if you had, let's say, five returns lined up and you had like the option to spare one tonight. Like, I don't think you do. I think the show itself tonight, excuse me, and the fans sold the show. Like, it, the fact that they're back in front of a live audience, and how long has it been? 15, 16 months?
Yeah, 495 days, 70 weeks. Days. Yeah.
Okay. So, yeah. I love that detail there, Matt.
Well, Michael Cole drilled it in our heads last night.
Yeah. I'm surprised I didn't have that memorized as well. But yeah, so with that, it's just a nice, the show sold itself. So I was just happy to see that they didn't really waste like a Brock Lesnar or something like that. Because for instance, like, what would you do? Like, let's say they brought Brock Lesnar back last night. He's not really going to do anything on Money in the Bank. I mean, yes, maybe more people, maybe they would turn into Money in the Bank, but I don't really see why, because everyone would pretty much expect him not to really do anything. So of course they would turn in next week, but I think the ratings are going to pick up and the viewership is going to pick up probably steadily, maybe like at a slow pace, but I can definitely see a progression within the next few months, because the excitement itself is there and people are just going to want to see what happens. So I'm not surprised.
No, yeah,
but
no.
Going forward, they need to. Building to SummerSlam, of course.
Mm-hmm.
And WWE has said behind the scenes, Drew McIntyre has said, talking to several like news outlets, that they're considering that this year's WrestleMania is SummerSlam because they'll have the 60,000 people screaming in Vegas. And I do believe that. I think this is going to be potentially as big as WrestleMania.
Oh,
so
yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome. So. It does, you know, while we're all kind of looked at that as well, yeah, it's going to be, there's so much anticipation, the first show back with fans, they got to do something big, but do they really? Because like you said, they are just about to go into a pay-per-view. You can't stick somebody in the middle of a program that's just about to be concluded at Money in the Bank. It wouldn't have made sense storyline-wise. While people wanted it like logically, it's like, no. Plus, like you said, you don't want to blow everything in one night. You want to spread the returns out. Brock Lesnar's probably, I would assume, probably going to come back maybe at the pay-per-view. We'll get into it. Or maybe the Monday Night Raw after. Yeah, with Sasha Banks and, dare I say, Goldberg and like all these potential. I don't think you want to blow in one night, but Finn Balor was a nice surprise to me. And, you know, I will say it's ironic that everyone was expecting the biggest, you know, a big superstar return. And, you know, creative and Vince were probably like, well, the biggest return tonight is going to be the fans themselves. They're our biggest superstar. Right. So,
right?
Like, you know, they probably said something along those lines, but it's true. So anything else on SmackDown before we jump into Money in the Bank?
No. I mean, we could nitpick some other stuff, but we can move on to the pay-per-view we'd be here. All night.
Oh yeah. No, definitely. Absolutely. Yeah. Cause now I'm like thinking about SmackDown, but all
right,
let's talk about this Money in the Bank pay-per-view again, guys, in front of a live audience. It's going to be awesome. I think that this has the potential to be a very good pay-per-view with a lot of big news stories. I'm not talking about a ton of returns, maybe one or two. We'll see, but I'm really looking forward to this pay-per-view, and we'll start off with the Raw Tag Team Championship. AJ Styles and Omos, take your pick of the pronunciation, versus the Viking Raiders. Ashley, what are your thoughts on this?
Yeah, no, I think it'll be a pretty solid match, actually. I'm mildly looking forward to it, just to see I kind of want to see just the clash between Omos, with the Viking Raiders, like in an actual match setting, just, you know, two on two. But yeah, so I think it'll be solid, but I'm not really expecting anything much or crazy here. I'm just expecting them to stick with AJ and almost retaining here and just moving on.
Yeah, I do expect a solid match with probably more support for the Viking Raiders than people would normally think. I think they've gotten a little bit of momentum over the last several weeks. They've gotten a little bit more talking. They've got, you know, actually being able to see who they are, get more from them on the microphone, got a little bit more of that. That helps. And I think people want AJ Styles out of a tag team. So I think that they'll have extra interest in the Viking Raiders capturing those belts so AJ could potentially get back into a singles career, where I think most of us are going, why are they wasting AJ Styles at the back end of his prime in a tag team? And if it's for to build Omos, I don't think that that is a wise move with a generational talent like AJ Styles to be in a tag team at this point. But we'll see. I think that I'm gonna go with the Viking Raiders because I want the Viking Raiders to win, because I want AJ Styles in his own career. I want him in a singles role, just like Shayna Baszler and Nia Jax when they split and then got back together, and I don't know what they're doing now. There are certain times where you're just like, no, get them out of a tag team, put them in a singles career, and that's why I'm going to pick the Viking Raiders.
Nice. Well, I'm glad we had different choices here to start off.
Yeah, me too. So let's see if that can continue in the women's Money in the Bank match, which I actually think will kick off the show, not in the kickoff show, but the first match on the main show. And the only reason I'm saying that is because when they have two matches that are the same stipulation, like Hell in a Cell or whatever, they have to spread it out, or they do spread it out as far from one another as it can be, making sense. Not disrespecting the women's Money in the Bank ladder match, but that's probably what they'll do. And so with this, we have Asuka, Naomi, Alexa Bliss, Nikki Cross, Liv Morgan, Zelina Vega, Natalia, and Tamina. This is not easy. I mean, I'll go first here on the pick. I know that a lot of people want Liv Morgan to win here. I do too, but unfortunately, it's not what I want, or sometimes what the fans want. A lot of times it's what Vince wants, because he thinks he knows what we want better than we do at times. So I would say I'm going to go with Alexa Bliss on this. I'm going to go with Alexa Bliss winning this. I want Liv Morgan, But I think Alexa Bliss is going to take this. What do you think? You're on mute. Or I lost you. Not sure which one.
Sorry.
That's
nope,
okay.
Nope. So sorry. Yeah, I muted myself. Yeah, so I'm going on a different route with this one. I'm kind of with everyone else, I guess the majority with wanting Liv Morgan, especially with what they've been doing lately. I don't know why, but I have a weird feeling about Zelina Vega. I feel like they just brought her back. I feel like she's been doing a pretty decent job since her return. And I just feel like with how good she is as a promo, I feel like having someone like her hold the briefcase could present some type of intrigue there. Maybe not even necessarily if she cashes in successfully, which, you know, I would hope she would. But if she does win, I hope they, you know, actually continue to build her and, you know, go from there. But I kind of want to go Zelina Vega on this one, and I really don't know why. And I could be completely wrong.
I like it. I like it. And there's a case to be made even for Nikki Cross. I mean, with the momentum she has, this is a really tough match. I would say the only ones that are completely out of this are Natalya, Tamina, Asuka. Those are the only ones out of it. Naomi even has a kind of a dark horse possibility. There's that dark horse. So really, there's only three out of the group, I think, that are there's just no way. But you can make a case for Naomi, small, but it's there. Alexa, Nikki Cross, Liv Morgan, and Zelina Vega. This is really, really tough. I think the fans are going to be behind Liv Morgan all the way. I mean, if you're looking at a pure babyface standpoint, probably Liv Morgan and Nikki Cross to some extent are probably going to be the most supported by the crowd. That's my guess. But since, guys, don't forget, this is the one time of year that the SmackDown and Raw go head-to-head outside of the Royal Rumble and Survivor Series.
Of course.
Yeah, so there's that. We have
Matt with the statistics tonight.
I don't know. when they try to like insult my intelligence with that whole slogan every year, they have vilified the Survivor Series pay-per-view to me. Like,
and we're
it used
up
to be,
on it.
I know it. It used to be one of my favorites, the traditional 5-on-5. And anyway, we got a few months to that, and then I can rant. But this match, quality-wise, I think it's going to be great. I'm really looking forward to seeing what Zelina Vega can do coming back in a in-ring capacity. I'm a massive Zelina Vega fan. Having her lose, though, her first match back made no sense. I didn't agree with that. Like, that goes against all normal logic. Having her on the microphone this past week with Liv Morgan, I'm big fans of both, but they came off like bickering schoolgirls. I didn't like that. But I think that this is going to be a kind of a pick'em with at least four competitors here. And I love the Zelina Vega pick. I love the Liv Morgan pick. I'm just looking at what does WWE think, and I think that they're looking at Alexa Bliss, but I could be wrong. So.
Yeah, no, I don't think you're wrong. I think you may actually be right on this one, just because the intrigue and her whole character is based on story. So it's an easy way to keep her out of the ring, not really competing in matches. Not saying she's, of course, a bad in the ring. She's actually much better than what a lot of people give her credit for. But she, of course, could sell that for however long they need her to.
Yeah, she really could. She really could. So, all right, your pick is Zelina. My pick is Alexa Bliss. So far, we differ on 2 out of 2.
We do.
Wow.
I like it.
Well, this one I have a feeling that we probably will agree on, but we'll see. The Raw Women's Championship, Rhea Ripley versus Charlotte Flair. I'll take this one first again. I'm going to go with Rhea Ripley retaining. And the reason for that is Becky Lynch. I think that with Becky Lynch probably on the tip of returning for the massive SummerSlam pay-per-view, that Rhea Ripley is going to do something underhanded to win. And she has been, I would assume, a heel. I honestly don't think that they have done a great job with Rhea Ripley, making her a babyface, then kind of in between, back to heel, babyface, then back to heel. It's very weird.
So sad.
It's so bizarre. They don't know what the hell to do with Rhea Ripley, but it seems as if they've locked her in as a heel. So this is a heel versus heel match, by the way, although Charlotte Flair, you could argue, has not done anything to have you dislike her, by the way, like other than tell us to bow down that she's been telling us to do for 7 years. That doesn't do anything for me, especially on the SmackDown side. when you have a SmackDown Women's Champion that's a babyface telling us she's the EST of everything and the most arrogant possible gimmick ever, and somehow she makes that work. I think this is a babyface Charlotte Flair by default. But anyway, I think Rhea Ripley retains by hook or crook, and then this is where Becky Lynch, I think, either returns at Money in the Bank to lay out Rhea Ripley and hold up the Raw Women's Championship, because she has a claim to that championship she never lost. She had to give it up to Asuka at Money in the Bank 2020 because of her pregnancy. So I think having her shoot right back into the title picture makes sense, because she's owed that championship that she never lost, at least the opportunity for it. So I think Becky Lynch returns either at the pay-per-view to lay out Ripley after the match and hold up the belt to the crowd losing their minds, or at the Monday Night Raw after. So Rhea Ripley retains. What's your thought?
Yeah, I'm going to differ with you again on this one. So,
all right.
However, and I'm pretty sure last time we did a prediction, I predicted Rhea to lose again. And just for the record, like, I don't hate Rhea. I love her. I'm just like, with the booking, it's just, if this was NXT, it'd be completely different. But exactly for everything you just said about her character, I won't rehash everything you said because it was laid out very nicely. But I think kind of exactly what you said, though, with Becky returning and laying out Rhea, I see her doing that with Charlotte. And I was just conflicted on whether I thought she was going to return on Sunday or on Monday, because to me, she relinquished the title on the Raw after Money in the Bank. So I think it would be kind of cool and kind of poetic in a way to bring her back on Raw the same night after, pretty much like to the T of the year. I mean, that we're off a few months, but just the same kind of concept there. And just, it'd be a kind of cool story. But again, laying out Charlotte, I don't know if Charlotte's like just like gloating tomorrow in the ring, like doing a promo, and then Becky comes out and just interrupts her. I don't know, just of course some type of interruption there. But yeah, so I'm going with Charlotte on this one, just because it's an easy feud for them to go to, especially with SummerSlam coming up. They need big storylines, and depending on who they do have confirmed to return, I think if you have a sure thing, then you want to go for it. And again, like, I would love to see Rhea and Becky, but I don't think right now is the time. I think if you have Becky return, you have to have her go against what's perceived as the top female wrestler in WWE, which she may very well be on Charlotte. So, and of course they have the history there. And again, not saying it would be the most exciting because we've seen it multiple times, but part of me just feels like that's where they're going to go. Because if not for nothing, it's, I don't want to say it's easy in a derogatory way, but it's an easy storyline to get there.
It is, but that is also why I actually chose Rhea over Charlotte, for the same reason you chose Charlotte over Rhea. And that is because I think the fans would look at Charlotte and Becky and go, my God, we've seen this, right? Like, yes, it's been a while. Certainly it's been a while. But I think fans would look at this and go, oh, but there's Rhea Ripley right there. We've seen Charlotte Becky 100 times. At the same time, your argument that it would be a shoe-in, it's like it's having Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn. And you know you're going to have a great match. Like, but would fans be upset and rather have Rhea Ripley, who I actually think is a better heel right now than Charlotte is, but I'd rather have Becky Lynch versus Rhea Ripley? We could both be wrong, and this ends up in a triple threat at SummerSlam. Like, I mean, I could see WWE doing right. that. Like, that's just what they do. So this, you know what, that may be the case. You and I are both wrong with SummerSlam, and it's a triple threat. But I like this. All right, so we are 0 for 3, or 3 for 3, on picking different people. This is crazy. Like, guys, this never ever happens. So
it's normally the opposite, if anything.
Yeah, seriously. So and this next match, well, actually, before I move on, did you have anything else for the Raw Women's Championship match that you wanted to say, and Becky returning or anything?
No. Again, we could go on and on about it, but we can move on to the next match.
All right. And that is, Money in the Bank, the men's Money in the Bank ladder match. Ricochet, John Morrison, Riddle, Drew McIntyre, Big E, Kevin Owens, Shinsuke Nakamura, and Seth freaking Rollins. I'm gonna pass the torch to you, Ashley. You take it.
All right. So with this one, I am actually, and I think the consensus is probably still Big E winning. But I don't know what it is, but I have another weird feeling, just like with Zelina, with Riddle. I think they've been pushing him on Raw pretty consistently. I think it's pretty obvious that everyone in the back likes him with the amount of time he's been getting. And I mean, if you are partnered with Randy Orton and you continue to get over, and especially when Randy's not there to, like, I don't want to say support or like do his share, but it's essentially he hasn't been there. So with Riddle just pretty much dominating, in my opinion, at least, the show and just being one of the highlights on there, or maybe not dominating, but just being one of the highlights on there and being one of the stables on the show, I think that this would be a good little, like, maybe like a thank you to him. And like, I think like this would be a sign, a good sign for him, and maybe just like a reaffirming for him, if nothing else. But I think he would be great with the briefcase too. I think it would be so entertaining to see him carry around the briefcase when he's riding on the scooter. I feel like he would annoy Randy to death with it. And I think maybe towards, and I hate to even bring it up, like the split of RK-Bro, maybe that could even come into play. Maybe Randy could, you know, be annoyed with him doing whatever he's doing with the briefcase, and, you know, how would they get to it? Riddle puts it on the line, and just whatever. But I think that that could come into play as well. But yeah, I think Riddle, and the good thing with Riddle is he's obviously that comedic side to him, but he's so solid in the ring. He's incredible. It's just every match that you see, it's just like you can't miss it. So I think he is a good, reliable pick this year. And I think it would be, in my opinion, a good redemption from last year.
Well, guys, sadly, the streak is over. It's over. I know,
but that,
like,
makes me feel better, because then I feel like I'm right.
No. Well, yeah, but how many times have I convinced you, or you convinced me to change our pick? We do, and then we look like fools after the pay-per-view. So, right. I'm with you. I'm with you on Riddle. I think Big E is a close second, but I think Big E's not ready. I don't think Big E's ready, and I think that he's not ready because creative won't let him get ready. He is constantly referencing the – he's not only not split from the New Day, he has reinforced the fact that he's part of the New Day on a weekly basis. He has done nothing on a consistent basis to really just differentiate him from that group. They just continue to drill it in your minds with the clapping and the gyrating and like everything. It's gotten worse over the last couple of months than better for Big E in terms of creating his own identity. So I think that Big E's not ready. And I think he's main event level. I just don't think character-wise that the fans are ready for him. And I don't know if Big E thinks that he's ready either for that. Who knows? But Big E, I think, is probably going to be a favorite in the Royal Rumble this year. Maybe he wins it there and then challenges the champion. I think that that's a possibility. But I'm with you on Riddle for a number of reasons. Number one, he's the hot hand. WWE loves their hot hands. He is entertaining as hell with Randy Orton. And Randy Orton hasn't been seen in about 3 weeks. So what I think is going to happen is Riddle is going to be in some kind of peril. Maybe, I don't know, Seth Rollins or rather John Morrison, McIntyre, somebody's on the ladder battling with him. Randy Orton pulls the person down, RKOs whoever that other person is, and helps out Riddle to get the briefcase. And the reason for that is, we'll later learn on Monday night, that it's so that Randy did that not out of love for Riddle, but so that when Riddle cashes in and if he wins the belt, that Randy Orton would be his first opponent. I mean, I could see a selfish reason that would be in line with Randy's character for doing that, other than just, hey, yeah, we're best friends now. I think that would be the reason. And we will see Randy Orton return at the pay-per-view, helping out Riddle and cashing in, or not cashing in, but getting that briefcase. So it will be entertaining as hell with those two with the briefcase. There's so much they could do. They've got chemistry that is rare on camera. I don't think anybody saw how good these two would be together on camera. So I think Riddle is the favorite. So I'm sticking with Riddle. But when you look at the other guys, Drew McIntyre even has a case. I think even Drew does, and the reason is small, but you could say Drew McIntyre could win so that he could eventually challenge Roman Reigns on SmackDown. And while that's true, and they did say that the winner could challenge on either brand, which I completely disagree with, by the way. I think it's ridiculous that you could switch brands because you want to challenge that champion. But I think that Drew has that case because, yeah, he could go to Roman Reigns, but the, unless you want to turn Drew McIntyre heel in this match, I've said this, you do not want him winning this for any reason because it will be a constant reminder that Drew's not out of the title picture with him carrying that briefcase around. So it's a bad idea. That would be a terrible idea, I think, but it's not out of the question. I don't think Ricochet has any real chance. John Morrison is really nearly impossible. Big E has a second favorite chance. Kevin Owens has got, like, you know, a dark horse chance. Shinsuke Nakamura is no chance. And Seth Rollins, I think you can make a case for Seth Rollins in this too. I mean, so yeah. Seth Rollins, you know, being elevated. But here's the thing. I think that this match will close the pay-per-view. So, I know that we have a championship match with Edge and Roman Reigns that we'll talk about, but I think this will close the show because of something that's going to happen in Edge and Roman Reigns. So I'll leave it at that. But, so you and I are both on Riddle.
Yeah, right on.
All right, let's continue on. On to the two main events here. The first, Bobby Lashley versus Kofi Kingston. Ashley, you're up.
Yeah, I have a feeling we may be on the same page with this one as well. Could be wrong, but I'm picking Bobby Lashley to retain here. I think there's a whole bunch of obvious reasons, but I will say I do love the twist that it took this week. I was actually expecting the normal, but they would be in that he was going to break up an MVP or like beat him up or something to that effect, but I like that he just destroyed everything in the ring. He is insanely strong with that couch, and I need him to help me move. So, Bobby, if you listen, please, I'll pay, you know, if I can afford. But yeah, so amazing. Like, and it landed on its all four legs. Like, it was just perfectly done. So, mighty impressive. But it was just a good way to end Raw. But yeah, so I think this is going to be a really good match, and I've really been enjoying this side of Kofi, and I wish we would have gotten it sooner. But I'm actually really excited for this match, but I'm pretty certain Lashley's going to retain here. What about you?
Yeah, there's just, I don't see any reality in which Kofi Kingston wins here. As everyone knows, I am a massive anti-Kofi Kingston personality advocate. I do not like the personality that Kofi Kingston portrays when he's in the New Day. So let me specify that. When he's serious and he came out a couple of weeks ago and had that sparring on the mic with MVP and he's just in like a sweatshirt and pants or whatever he was wearing, I was like, okay, I can get on board with that Kofi Kingston. But this iteration of Kofi Kingston we've been having to stomach over the last 6 years or 7 years, whatever it's been, I can't stand this version of Kofi Kingston. I was actually advocating for Bobby Lashley to just squash him. I know that people think that this is going to be kind of a competitive, spirited effort by Kofi Kingston. Ultimately, he's going to end up losing. A lot of people are thinking that. And that's probably going to be the reason. Or I'm sorry, probably the outcome where, you know, there's a lot of hope. There's a couple of hope spots for Kofi. He hits Trouble in Paradise. He gets the dreaded roll up a couple of times, and he gets a 2 3/4 count. The crowd is, you know, going crazy. I would advocate for Bobby Lashley just to destroy Kofi Kingston in the way that Brock Lesnar did. And the reason that's what I hope happens. And I know people are looking for, oh, we got to have a great match. Well, I would say no for two reasons. Number one, it's predictable. We have Brock Lesnar supposedly on the horizon. Why would you not want to make Bobby Lashley look as absolutely strong and unstoppable as possible than defeating Kofi Kingston in the way that Brock Lesnar did at 2 years ago on the debut on Fox, the SmackDown debut on Fox? So having Kofi maybe get zero offense, squash, Bobby Lashley retains, people would go, what the? Like, people would be shocked. On the second hand, you have Bobby Lashley, who just cut this promo on Monday night that said he is basically done with this BS. He is going to use the pain of people as his joy. He did say that Kofi was right. I have maybe gone a little soft, but that promo Bobby cut on Monday night was probably the best he's cut in WWE, like bar none. It was real. It was just from his guts. It felt authentic. So I don't know why this would be a competitive, spirited matchup by Kofi, ultimately coming up short, that we all kind of see coming. But that would not be in line with what we just saw with Bobby Lashley. Like that promo would be of no use if you're just going to have that type of match anyway. We didn't need to have the promo from Bobby if that's what you're going to do. So I would advocate for a complete dominance from Bobby Lashley, crushing Kofi Kingston into oblivion, and maybe that ends up, you know, splitting up the New Day in some way, or people have speculated about Xavier Woods costing Kofi Kingston the match. People have talked about that.
Great.
Yeah, I would love that. I think Xavier would be great on his own. So this one, I don't think is going to be as straightforward either way. I think Xavier could get into this, but the end result's going to be the same, I think, with Bobby Lashley retaining.
Yeah, well, yeah, I agree with that. I hope you're right. I hope it is just a squash match, or not to that effect, but, or not to sound so harsh with it, but to, you know, you just a quick, pretty much just what was it, 8 seconds?
That first SmackDown? I think something like that, It was bad. And people were really pissed, and I understand why.
Yeah. I hope it's something similar to that as well. That'd be a nice little surprise there for nothing else. But yeah, I just feel like WWE is going to go the predictable route with that one, just give us an actual match. But yeah, I agree with you.
Agreed. Yeah, I don't think I'm right. I mean, I think you and I are both right. I do too, but not just for my ego of saying I was right. I mean, not selfishly, but I do think you and I are both right in the end result. Bobby Lashley retains. We know that. I think everybody knows that. It's just it's a matter of what kind of match are we going to get. And I think while I would love to see my scenario, it's going to be the typical Kofi Kingston getting dominated early, then getting a couple of hope spots, and you hear Michael Cole or Byron Saxton go, "Can Kofi really do this?" And you know, you hear all the mumbo jumbo that's going to go with the possibility. Oh my God, Kofi could win here. And he'll have some hope spots that are believable, but ultimately Bobby retains and hopefully just completely bludgeons Kofi Kingston into oblivion. Like I want to see Kofi get absolutely destroyed. I actually want to see color on Kofi Kingston if we could, but we're not gonna. So I think we'll get a predictable competitive match with Bobby retaining. Well, that's probably – we'll get the vanilla match that we probably all think is going to happen. But all right. Let's move on to a match that is got a lot going for it and a lot of moving parts here. Roman Reigns versus Edge for the Universal Championship. Oh, boy. I'm excited about this match. It's the match that a lot of people thought we were going to get at WrestleMania until Daniel Bryan came in and it was a triple threat. But I was going to go first. I don't think you and I are going to differ on the outcome here. But let me know. Go ahead. What do you think?
Yeah, no, I'm picking Roman Reigns with this one.
And do you see Seth Rollins interfering?
Mm-hmm. Yes. As much as it pains me to say that, just because I would love to see just a straight up match with these two. And hopefully it's not like a DQ or anything like that ending, but yeah, I do, because I think it's pretty obvious and everyone out there sees it. It's going to be Seth versus Edge at SummerSlam. So yeah, I definitely see Roman Reigns retaining here, and then that obviously frees him up to challenge any particular surprise return that we could be getting.
Yes. So this is where things get a little bit interesting. And yes, we know Roman's going to win. I'm looking forward to the match itself. I mean, I think this is not going to be a squash. This is going to be competitive. Edge is going to show up. He's going to be ready to go. Edge is going to get some believable spear kickouts. I mean, this is going to be fun as hell. I'm really looking forward to the one-on-one that I was really looking forward to WrestleMania. And then we got Triple Threat. But Roman Reigns retains here. I'm going with, you know, yourself and pretty much everybody else listening. Roman Reigns retains. You know, as far as Seth Rollins interfering, here's where I think, when I was referencing the Money in the Bank earlier, why I think Money in the Bank's going to end the night is that this match will be maybe the semi-main event. And in a normal pay-per-view, this would be the main event. But with Money in the Bank being the name of the pay-per-view, I think that the men's Money in the Bank will main event the show. And what's going to happen is, you're going to have Seth Rollins screw over Edge in this match, and then Edge is going to return the favor during the men's Money in the Bank ladder match, and screw over Seth Rollins, who has got his fingertips on the briefcase. Edge ends up, spearing him off the ladder or something insane and getting his payback. And then you're off to the races with these two for SummerSlam. So that's how I think it's going to go, with Edge paying back the favor from earlier in the night. There's been a lot of backstage interaction with these two, Edge and Seth Rollins, that is. I absolutely see that happening. So Edge will move on to Seth Rollins. That leaves Roman Reigns free to who could that next opponent be? And I think that a couple of music notes may hint to what that is, and that's right. I mean, so that was just spot on. I know. So do you think that Mr. Cena could show his face tomorrow night, or do you think he'll wait until the Friday night after?
I do. I think we get Cena back tomorrow night. I think I don't know exactly how it's going to go, because there's going to be a lot of moving parts, like you said, in this match. But man, I think we do. And part of me wouldn't be surprised if they do wait until SmackDown, because obviously there'll be more viewers there, I'm pretty sure. It'll probably get more buzz that way, and kind of give SmackDown that you can't miss any show type feeling again. But yeah, I'm pretty sure we get Cena back tomorrow night, and that obviously sets up their match for SummerSlam. But if not tomorrow night, definitely Friday.
Certainly, yeah. No, there's no question, and if I was going to pick one person to return tomorrow night, I think that one person out of Brock and Becky and I'm just like losing my mind. We're getting a thunderstorm here.
Traveling.
It's crazy. It's crazy. Like, we've been dodging it all day, and it's honestly been raining up here for the last like 3 weeks. I mean, it's been insane up here. But I would say the number one person who's most likely to come back at Money in the Bank is probably Becky Lynch. That's my guess. And then they'll trickle the returns back over the next couple of weeks, with presumably John Cena at the Friday night after the Money in the Bank. So I think SmackDown will be a good time for him to return there. With Roman Reigns maybe coming out to they'll have like a championship celebration, right? Like, if you see a segment that doesn't involve an actual opponent, like a championship celebration or an award ceremony. Yeah. Like, so if that's going to be the case, like a tribal party or something, like that's certainly a perfect opportunity for John Cena to come back. And I think it will Friday night. As far as Brock Lesnar goes, there are reports that Brock Lesnar has not been signed by WWE. They haven't come to terms. And the rumor is that in the meantime, it's going to be Goldberg versus Bobby Lashley at SummerSlam if they can't get Brock Lesnar. So if that is true, if Bobby Lashley and Brock Lesnar is not yet ready, and Brock is just growing out his ponytail, he's too busy with that.
I love the ponytail, by the way.
Do you? Really?
I do.
It's just so weird.
It's just because it's so bizarre. When I saw it, I was like, who is that? I was like, I had to stare at it for a few seconds. I was like, get out. And then there's like four different photos of him. And it's just, I like it. I like it in a weird way.
It's so weird. I still like him with the traditional like military cut that he always has. Yeah. But it is bizarre. If you guys have not seen it, I mean, he was on a show like Butcher Brothers or something.
DJ sent it. Bearded Butchers, I think it's
the name. Yeah. That's what it is. He was on that show, like, I don't know, whatever. I've never heard of that show, but they cut up meat, and they're like some kind of meat distribution company. I don't know. But Brock Lesnar, if you guys haven't seen, he has a ponytail. It is very weird. He's got a little bit of a beard too, which is fine. But the ponytail thing is really what does it. But that's amazing. For Brock Lesnar, I mean, like, he can. That's what, like you said, it makes it all the better, because it's Brock Lesnar. He can do whatever the hell he wants.
Yes, exactly. He does whatever he wants.
And no one's gonna say anything. Like, nope. It looks great, Brock. I mean, like,
looks great. Exactly.
I do wonder if he will keep it upon his return. Or if they'll decide to say, hey, Brock.
I want to get an action figure with a ponytail.
Yeah. I mean, maybe it works. I'd like to see what it looks like without it in a ponytail. It's just like flowing down. Like, what does that look like? I mean,
it's got to be weird. Just flowing in the wind. Yeah.
It's got to be so weird. He's like 40 some years old. But,
and can you imagine him yelling like, don't pull my hair and stuff like, oh, it's just a whole new Brock.
Yeah. Yeah, it would be. It would be. So, but if Brock is not ready to come back and it's Goldberg versus Bobby, can you not see or can you see a scenario in which the fans go, oh, that's awesome. Yay, Goldberg. I mean, what has Goldberg done every single time he returns to just walk into a championship match? I can't even handle this anymore with Goldberg. Do you see the fans, if he comes back in the next week on Raw or whatever, that he will get booed? Or do you think the fans will actually embrace it?
I think they'll sing his song and chant like the Goldberg, and like the initial like surprise will probably like generate that a good response. But I think going forward in like the build up, I think it's going to die down pretty quickly. And it's sad because like it, had we not seen Goldberg maybe 3 out of the past, however many times, like if you just cut like a chunk out of that, like, and it wasn't just the same thing every time, like it would be pretty cool and pretty exciting to see these two big guys go against each other, you know? But now it's just like, it kind of just takes the excitement out of it. And I don't know, maybe I could be wrong. The buildup could be great to it and it could end up being a phenomenal match. But I don't know. I hope that's not where we're going.
I
hate to say it.
I will sit here and I will be a total jerk about this because the only one who wants Goldberg back is Vince McMahon. And apparently Goldberg's contract is 2 matches per year. Apparently. Now, this is reportedly. For everything the fans do and don't know, this has been something that's been consistent, is Goldberg has a multi-year contract that has 2 matches per year. So if that's the case, then we could be in for another Goldberg match. I'm not looking forward to the Goldberg-Bobby Lashley match if that's the case and Brock's not available. Because we know what kind of match we're getting with Goldberg. There is no in-between. There's nothing more than a couple of spears, maybe a jackhammer, maybe a suplex here and there. We know what we're getting. Like, it's not going to surprise us that, oh, maybe he's got something special planned for us. Maybe he's going to, you know, actually learn more than 3 moves. Maybe – no, he's not. Like, he's not. He's in great phenomenal shape. He's a great dude from everything I know. But I just have zero interest seeing Goldberg anymore. I know he returned in, 2016, 2017, and it was fun for a little while with Brock, but we've seen it. We know what we're getting with Goldberg. It's spear, 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 kick out, spear, jackhammer, and you know, that's it. Like, so I'm not excited to see that. We've seen it 100 times, so I stand by that. I do not want anything to do with Goldberg unless, here's the only thing, if they turn him heel. I would be for that, because that could
definitely
be that's waiting to be taken. He's a limited moveset. He comes back as an entitled 50-year-old man that just feels he can walk into championship matches for no reason and just automatically earn that opportunity, stepping ahead of everyone else in line. And his matches, again, he's very limited, and he's not great on promos. That is dying for a heel turn from Goldberg. Like, why not go?
I think he would be so good at it.
Yes.
Like, as bad, or maybe not bad, but like as not great as he is as a promo, like, man, if you turn him heel, just everything that's probably been built up however past 20 plus years, like, just let him unleash it.
Yes.
Just let him go.
He would have so much more freedom. He wouldn't have to worry
about. Because wrestling wasn't his first choice, nope. Just like it wasn't for a lot of other. It was football, and nothing wrong with that, you know. But like, he can use that, write it, just play that into it as well.
Yeah, no, he could, and it would form fit his character at this stage in his career so well. It would help advance Bobby Lashley. I know that you could turn Bobby Lashley babyface and have Brock eventually come back as a heel. Like, you could make Bobby either, honestly. Bobby's doing great as a heel. I wouldn't even actually say he's a heel because he hasn't done anything to make me hate him. We're just supposed to because that's how he's cast. They haven't done a strong job of that. But if you turn Goldberg heel, hell yeah, sign me up for that because I want to see him get eviscerated by the fans. He could let loose on the fans saying, you're unappreciative. Do you know who I am? Do you know what I've done? It's so easy. It's right there. Instead, they keep pumping him out there like he's a legacy star that we all just want to see keep performing, and it's long past its shelf life. So if that's the case, and I probably am wrong and they're turning him heel, he'll probably come back as we're all supposed to just cheer for him like good little sheep. And I hope the fans don't buy it. I hope the fans boo the absolute hell out of Goldberg if he comes back. Not to disrespect the man, but to show WWE what they really are missing out on. And the fact that this is not a deserving man for the championship, and stop ramming him down our throats. Like, that's what I'm looking for. So, all right. Well, any other thoughts on Money in the Bank or any potential returns or anything else that may come to mind right now?
No, I think we pretty much covered everything, but I am really looking forward to the show tomorrow night.
Yeah, me too. I really am. With fans back, no more playing God, pumping in crowd noise, no more,
nope.
None of that. It is authentic. It is, it's in Fort Worth, so they're still in Texas. So I expect a really rowdy crowd, and I hope they're as loud as they were last night. So
do I.
All right. Well, Ashley, before you go, is there any social media you want to share that people can get in touch with you with?
Yeah, you can follow me on Twitter at ASHMANNS.
All right. Awesome. Well, Ashley, thanks so much. I know that the next time you and I talk, things in both of our lives are going to be a little hectic and crazy, but for the better for both of us.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Sleep deprived for me and I guess sun soaked for you.
Hopefully. So. Yes.
So,
yes, sir.
That's awesome. All right, Ashley. Well, take care and we'll be in touch soon.
Sounds great. Thanks, Matt. Have a good night.
You too. Good night.
Thanks.